Go ahead, I've been turning to your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. First thing I want to do this morning is introduce to us our new sister in Christ. She was baptized this week, Alicia Ruiz. Can I have you stand up? Welcome to the kingdom of God. Friday was Veterans Day. It's a day in America where we remember all the men and women who have fought to make America what it is and still is. And so to honor our veterans, we have some people in here that have served in the military. If you've ever served in the military or your spouse has ever served in the ministry, I want you at this time to please go ahead and stand up. I want to tell you thank you. Thank you for your service. Thank you so much. You may be seated. I salute you. This morning, in keeping with the theme of Veterans Day, I want to talk to us about being spiritual veterans. You know, in Ephesians chapter 6, a passage we are very familiar with, the Bible says, put on the full armor of God, beginning in verse 11, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. The battle you and I are fighting, the Bible tells us we can't even see the enemy. You can't go, oh, there he is. He just went out through the door, or he's coming right in over here. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, the Bible says. You can't see the enemy. It's a spiritual battle that you and I are fighting as children of Christ and as God's children. It's a fierce battle. If you ask any of these men and women that stood up, in battle, when you go out of battle, you know who the enemy is. You don't just go out there and like, now who am I supposed to be shooting at? You know exactly who the enemy is. They prepare themselves. They're given equipment so that they can fight the battle properly. And in a matter of speaking spiritually too, you and I, God has equipped us to fight this battle. It goes on. In Ephesians chapter 6, it says, therefore, in verse 13, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Amen? I mean, we just sang about this earlier on, talking about hard-fighting soldier. A lot of the words from that song come from this passage. He says we need to put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, and all these weapons. But it says we need to put on the full armor. The reason for that is, you know what? If you put on partial armor, Satan knows exactly where to hit. Satan knows our weak spots. He knows the things that we're struggling with. Are you with me? And that's why we got to put on the full armor of God. God has equipped us to fight this war. Because Satan is trying to take you out. That's all he thinks about every day. Every single day, the devil is scheming and looking for ways to get you to trip up. Because that is one less person in God's army. And we got to stay strong. We got to keep on fighting. Yeah, you're going to take some hits. But then you get up, you dust yourself off, and you keep on fighting. You know, it's always amazing to me when, even right now in America, you will hear about men and women that are on their sixth and seventh tour of duty. Some of them, in some of these battles, they'll get injured and be brought back. A lot of them are Walter Reed. And they get them back. And at that point, really, they have the choice to not go back in the battle. Many volunteers, you know, I want to go back. Such dedication. How are you doing as a Christian veteran? Are you even in the army? Do you even have the clothes on? Or are you just there watching the battle go on while people are being slaughtered and you're doing absolutely nothing? You say, well, I go to church, I give my tithe, you know, I pray every day, I'm reading my Bible, so I'm in the battle. No, you're not. Jesus didn't die so that we can all gather together on Sunday morning and sing a few songs. That's not what this is about. It's about every single day where you and I understand that we're in a battle and that we've got to fight and help one another and encourage one another. Amen? I mean, that phone, that church directory we gave to you, we didn't just give it to you so that, oh yeah, you want to get a hold of somebody, you got their name and telephone number, whatever. We gave it to you to use it. Let me ask you, when was the last time you prayed through that directory? Well, you just picked it up and just started praying for people. By name. You can see their picture there. Well, Richard, I don't know them. All the more reason. God knows them. God knows what they're going through. Are you with me? But we need to be praying for one another. That's what he talks about. That we need to be praying for all the saints. Amen? Several things will happen. Number one, when you start doing that, you're going to get to know people a lot quicker. Because you can put a face to the name. So that when you see them in the fellowship, you can encourage them. Sister, I was praying for you this week. Brother, I was praying for you this week. Amen? Amen? We need that. Because we're in a spiritual battle. I've said it before, but I say it again. The devil is not going to make this easy. He never has. But when you and I put on the full armor, when we're close to God, God works on our behalf. Amen? Amen? You know, I'm sure you've been to the airport to pick up somebody. You know, there's a part there where, you know, people come off the train and come up the escalator. And every once in a while, you know, a lot of times you'll see soldiers in the military fatigue, you know, coming up the stairs. And without fail, people that are standing out there waiting to pick up their loved ones, they start clapping for these men and women as they come up the escalator. Every single of them that comes up, I mean, they're clapping. You know, when you see men and women in uniform, you need to take the time, go to them and say, you know what? Thank you. Because these guys have been shot at. They've left their family for months and years. We got to make sure that we don't get sucked in into this bubble called America. And we forget the sacrifice of men and women every single day so that you and I can enjoy this life that we now have. Are you with me? We got to put on the full armor of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, it says, you then, my son, that includes all the women too, okay? He's talking to Timothy, but the message is for everybody. Are you with me? I don't want you sisters to say, well, this doesn't apply to me. It does apply to you. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 2, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, and trust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Verse 3. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Verse 4. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian matters, in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. I don't think we talk about these verses enough. It talks about how we need to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Amen? It says, and the things you have heard me in the presence of many witnesses, and trust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. As an evangelist, I have to entrust the word of God to reliable men. He didn't just say, entrust to any disciple or entrust to any Christian. Reliable men. Like Gary was saying this morning, that it's not so much that, okay, yeah, it's, we study the scriptures, but we are obeying it. Those are reliable men who are leading by example. That is who you entrust the gospel to. Are you with me? Because when you are living out the message and you're calling other people to do it, it gives your message power and authority. If you're just talking and you're not living the life, the Bible says you're a hypocrite. That's what the Pharisees were. Are you with me? But we got to entrust to reliable men and women who are living out the life, who are setting the pace, who are living by example. And so let me ask you again, how is your Christian example? Some of us, we've been in this army for over 10 years. Where's the impact? How many bullets, spiritually speaking, have you shot at the enemy? Do you even see the fight? Or has discipleship come down to, yeah, I go to church, I do this and I do this, and so I'm okay? Church, we're in a battle. For our souls, for the souls of our kids and our family members, and for a lot of lost people out there. It's a daily fight. It is. But you see, it says, endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ. You didn't think you were a soldier, did you? You are. I am. We all are. What does a soldier do? A soldier fights. A soldier obeys his commanding officer. You know, ask any of these guys who stood up in the military. If they tell you jump, you better jump. When those drill sergeants, when they go, I'm talking to you, man. Yes, sir. And the guy's right in their face, spitting their face. You can't do nothing. You say, well, I'll never join the military. You see, when somebody comes this close to your face and yells at you and showers you with water from their mouth, it leaves an impression on you. You don't forget that very quickly. Every once in a while, I hear, you know, there's some smart guy who thinks he's a smart aleck. He'll say something. That guy will be out in the rain doing push-ups. He said, oh, that's abuse. No, it's discipline. If you disobey the commanding officer, they will court-martial you. The things that makes the military go is because, you know, these guys obey. There's an authority. There's a hierarchy. Guess what? It's the same thing in God's church. We got a king. He's the commanding officer. We got a bunch of rules. Whether you like it or not, it's in the book. If you don't obey the commanding officer, one day you're going to face your court-martial. It's called judgment. Now, praise God, because of Jesus, even when we mess up, he's not going to hold us accountable for disobeying him. Are you listening to me? But he's still our commanding officer nonetheless. And we need to obey him. When Jesus says go, we need to go. We don't need to be asking, so how are we going to do this? God says, shut up. I'm the commanding officer. When I created the world, where were you? I didn't ask you before I put all these stars into place. Be quiet. That's what worship is. Amen? That's what it's always been. It hasn't changed. You know, let me keep going. You know, it's amazing to me, just like the U.S. Army right now and the U.S. military, it's a volunteer army. Back in the day, they used to draft you, and, you know, people would do all kinds of stuff to dodge the draft. But this days, it's a volunteer army. Guess what? The kingdom of God is a volunteer army also. God didn't force any of us to come and join this. And God is not going to force anybody to come join this. You got to say, you know what? I like what's in the book. I see what's in the book. Hey, I'm going to listen to him. He created me. He created everything I see in the universe. He says this is the way to get saved. That's exactly what I'm going to do. It is that simple. And men will tell you different things. But the question is, are you going to have the courage to do what the Bible teaches? Nobody was born with this. We all have to take a look at our lives at some point and compare it to what the Bible taught and say, you know what? I'm in trouble. Jesus is not the Lord of my life. I haven't given up everything to serve him. That's what discipleship is all about. It's always been in the scriptures. It hasn't changed. It's not something, I'm sorry to disappoint some of you, it's not something the Church of Christ came up with. Amen? It was in the book the whole time. We just decided, you know what? Let's go back to the book. If it says it, we're going to do it. If it's not there, we don't want to hear it. Amen? Amen? But he's our commanding officer. But you see, the problem is, a lot of us, this is the problem right here. We've gotten involved in civilian affairs. Well, I got to do this. I got to take my son to go do this. I got to take my daughter to go do this. I got to take my, you know, my child to go do this. My wife to go do this. I mean, we just, and we forget what you're part of. You know, I want to read to you something that Mike Tolliver wrote 10 years ago. In one of the articles at that time in the Los Angeles church. I want you to listen to this. This was 10 years ago. He writes, those of us living in safer and more comfortable cities need to remember that the call to sacrifice goes out to our towns and neighborhoods as well. Sometimes we lose the fire we had when we were baptized. We hear stories from older disciples about how it was in the good old days, and we cannot relate. We get soft. Sacrifice to us means missing a favorite TV program or our car breaking down. We forget that thousands of disciples cannot afford a TV or a broken down car in the first place. We complain about our tough situation, but millions of people around the world would be thrilled to trade places with us. The thick layers of comfort start to snuff out the fires of conviction. He goes on to say, in Mark 6:5, Jesus refused to work miracles among the faithless. And the principle holds true. If you want miracles, you must believe that God can do them in your city and in your culture at this very moment. According to your faith will it be done. Matthew 9:29. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6. Faith alone, however, will not get the job done. God always wants us to get to work. In Proverbs 22:13, we read, the sluggard says, there is a lion outside. Or I will be murdered in the streets. Laziness makes many excuses. Caution is sometimes another face of laziness. Many times we have made the mistake in Africa of retreating during civil unrest. But faithful disciples know that during civil unrest, a few people fight it out in the streets, but most go home and rest. Everybody is at home. It is easy to speak with them. And they all seem to be more open to thinking about their relationship with God. Some of our most fruitful months have been during unrest. In the safer cities of our world, we face a different kind of laziness. Many watch TV an outstanding 25 hours a week. There is news, sports, and programs that we simply must watch. Then there's email, web surfing, and the gym. Pretty soon, your schedule is packed and you need a vacation to alleviate the stress. In many cities, if we would sell the TV and spend the 25 free hours evangelizing, an explosion of growth will rock our Bible talk. Faith and hard work are the keys to helping more people know about Christ. In any city on earth, people are as open as your mouth. If your mouth is open, speaking to people and inviting them to church, the city will be open as well. If your mouth stays closed, so will the city. It's that simple. I mean, he could have written this stuff last week. I went and dug this up. You know, I don't believe Jesus came into this world to die so that you and I can just muzzle on through life. When you read about stories of people like Stephen, the first martyr in the New Testament, and you read about Paul and everything he had to go through, and how the first century Christians were persecuted for their faith by the Romans, and throughout the centuries, even as we speak, there are places in the world today where they cannot openly gather like this. Either because, you know, the Muslim radicals have bombed the church building and the authorities are coming after them. As we speak, there are people that they can't sit aside like this and just have church. In Indonesia, if they see you carrying a Bible openly, you will be arrested. You just can't show up at McDonald's. Oh yeah, let's study the Bible. It doesn't work that way. And I share all this stuff not to put us down, but to help us to understand, you know what? I think we're getting very comfortable in America. People are dying for the faith. Many disciples will gladly trade places with us in America. It shouldn't be that way. Too many people have sacrificed for you and I to be here. Are you with me? In a matter of speaking, even as Christians, we're standing on the shoulders of many giants. Now, this is our moment in the spotlight. This is our moment in the sun. What are we going to do with it? Are we just going to be going through the motions? Let me be very open with you. I know every Sunday I get up here and Thursday and all that, and you know, people just, how does Richard do it? I'm going to tell you something. I do get discouraged. Now, I don't stay there, but I do get discouraged. And nothing discourages me more than to see us as Christians, as a body of Christ, not totally on fire for God. Now, you say, have you been tempted to quit? No. Because it's never been about you. And it never will be. If I quit, if I get discouraged and I stay down, then Satan wins. And I don't know about you, I made a vow many, many years ago to take the fight to the devil. And that's why I'm still here. And I will die a preacher. Because if I give this up, then Satan wins. And I'm not about to do that. But that is one thing that really gets under my skin. It really does. You can ask my wife. And when that happens, I just go off. Just want to spend some time with God and just get myself recharged. And he always recharges me. I say, son, just keep on going. Yeah, maybe that knucklehead doesn't get it. This one gets it. Maybe that knucklehead doesn't understand. She gets it. That's what keeps me going. I'll be very honest with you. Amen? But you see, you've heard me say this over and over again. It's not how you start this race that matters. The question is, how are you running it and whether you're going to finish it? My job is not just to make sure that people come into the kingdom of God. My job is to make sure, and the elder's job is to make sure that you're here, praise Jesus, you make it to the finish line. Amen? Amen. We are going to drag you across the finish line, even if we have to. Yeah, I promise you that. We will drag you through the finish line if that's what we have to do. I will put you in a headlock and come on. I'm tired. Get up. Don't make me lay hands on you. We're going to cross that finish line together. And if I was struggling, you would do the same for me. Amen? That's what it's all about. You know, I love this passage in 2 Corinthians. Before I get to that, these are some famous American battles. Some of you history buffs, you know all the stuff about this stuff. And there's many. Okay, Gettysburg, Normandy, D-Day, Battle of Yorktown. You say, what is that? Then you need to go study it out. Okay? These are just some famous battles that Americans have fought. People have died and given their lives. Do you realize the American Civil War was the most bloodiest that's been fought, that this country has ever fought? Over 600,000 people. And all the casualties were Americans. I think sometimes we forget. So much blood was shed so that you can have the comfortable, peaceful life that you now have. The same thing is true, spiritually speaking. Many people have died that we read about in the scriptures. Many people have died in our lifetime so that you and I can continue to be Christians today. Many people have sacrificed, given lives, given money. There are battles that are being fought every day. See, we got to make sure that, you know what? You may lose one battle. Make sure you don't lose the war. Okay? A battle is just a battle. Some of you may be in some right now that you're fighting. Just remember, it's a battle. Things are going to look very different 6 months from now. Things are going to look very different for you a year from now. It's just a battle that you're going through. Yeah, you get knocked down, but then you pick yourself up. Make sure other people around you see, hey, you know what? I've fallen out here. I need help. H-E-L-P. Help. Amen? Help! You better scream help, because if you smile, bro, how you doing? Fine. Everybody thinks everything's fine. Instead of you saying, how you doing, bro? Help! I mean, think about it. When you hear that word, what happens? You turn. Because you know somebody is in need. And people come to the rescue. But it's like you're sitting there, everything's fine. How you doing, man? Fine. Fine doesn't get any response from anybody. I'm not going to leave my house if you tell me everything's fine with you. But if you tell me help, I will be there. The elders will be there. The family group leaders will be there. Amen? But you got to sound the alarm. You say, they should be able to know if I'm not doing well. Really? I got news for you. We're not mind readers. The apostles back in the first century, they could read your mind. They could tell if you were doing well in the fellowship. Okay? We don't have that ability today. Unless you open your mouth and say, you know what, guys, I need help. There's no shame in admitting that. You know, you've seen enough war movies. You see, these guys are battling the enemy. I love those kind of movies. And what happens when one guy's run out of ammo? You think he's just there, just continues to fire. He goes, hey, I'm out! Right, Ross? Hey, I'm out! The guy goes, I got me some. Whoop, tosses over to the guy. Because this one is out of ammo. He's about to get shot. He's about to get killed. He needs some ammo to fight back. So you asking for help is your brothers and sisters giving you ammo spiritually to help you continue the fight. You just can't sit there and you run out of ammo. Bro, everything's just fine. And you are half dead. And you don't even realize it. It shouldn't be that way. Amen? It shouldn't be that way at all. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I love this passage. This is one of my favorite passages in the Bible. It says, the weapons we fight with. That's that word again, fight. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Oh, I love this passage. The weapons you and I fight with, the Bible says, are not the weapons of this world. Amen? Amen. But we've got to make sure that we're plugged into the power source. You know, these lights do no good unless somebody flicks it on. Are you with me? The power is there, but for you to realize it, you've got to turn it on. You've got to plug yourself. You've got to stay connected to the power source. Who is our power source? God. That's the divine power. Amen? But are you plugged in? Are you connected to it? Are you being victorious? Are your prayers being answered? Which is not to say God is going to answer everything in 24 hours. Are you changing? Because you're asking God, Lord, change me. That is a prayer I don't think we Christians pray enough. You know why? Because you know God is going to start within 10 minutes of you praying that prayer. And so a lot of times, oh, I'm not going to do that. Let me tell you something. If you don't humble yourself, God will humble you. We've got passages for that in the Bible. It's a lot easier when you say, Lord, I need help. Father, humble me. Lord, teach me. God said, are you sure? Lord, teach me. Okay, here goes. And then things are going to start happening and God will see how you're going to react. Whether you're going to grow from that situation. Are you with me? Yeah. We need to get into our Bibles and study these things out. Yeah. I agree with everything Gary said this morning. My job, believe me, there's no way in half an hour, 35 minutes, I can totally dissect a topic. I mean, this whole passage, we can teach this for 4 weeks. All this is to stir you up. So that when you're sitting down during the week and you're studying your Bible, you look at this passage, you cross-reference them, and then you go deeper. Are you with me? That's all this is. It's like every Sunday and on Thursday, all I give you is appetizer. I'm sorry, you're going to have to fix the entrees. But a lot of times what we want to do as Christians, we want the preacher to give us the appetizer, we want him to serve us the entree, we want him to make the dessert. I'm sorry, you're not paying me enough to do that. Let me just tell you that right now. It's not happening. There's not enough time to do it. All we can do is stir you up so that during the week, you go study out your Bible. Amen? That's what this is all about. You know, we're not infants. You know, infants are the ones where, you know, you feed them, you give them the bottle, and, you know, all they do is sleep and eat. And, amen, that's fine. There's a season for everything under heaven. They wake up, they start crying again, you feed them, they go back to sleep. Okay, at that stage in their life, they are, all you as the parent, you need to feed them. Why? Because they can't take care of themselves. Alright? Now, prayerfully, that kid is going to grow up, and then, they're going to get into their teen years. Well, Mommy, I'm hungry. Okay. I hear you. Can I get something to eat? Okay. What would you like to eat? I love a sandwich. Notice there's not even please there. I'd love a sandwich. Please. Oh, okay. We got bread in the house. We got some meat. There's some cheese. There's some lettuce. Are your wrists, are they sprained by any chance? No. Something wrong with your hands? No. You want a sandwich? Okay. You'll have a sandwich when you make yourself one. I'm not gonna spoon feed a teenager and make them a snack. They need to be making me a snack. Amen? Why? Because they are now at an age where they can take care of themselves. Oh, I just gotta do this for my son. I just gotta do this. You are messing up these kids for life. In a few years, they're gonna leave that house. And I tell you, the world doesn't operate that way. They're gonna learn very quickly how to fend for themselves. I learned this the hard way. Growing up, you know, I never really loved to cook or knew how to cook, but I could eat. And I'm telling you, man, when I came to America, you know, after a while you get tired of eating hamburgers and stuff like that. I just, man, I got to eat some of my stuff where I come from. And I didn't know how to make it. And I picked up the telephone. And I'll never forget, I called my mother. I said, Ma, how do you make this? I kid you not. She said, guys, I want you to come and hear this. She called the entire household. She said, repeat what you just said to me. I said, could you tell me how I do this, this? And she's laughing on the telephone. She couldn't believe it. Now she was very kind. She said, okay, now here's what you do. You do this, you do this, you do this. You wait 10 minutes and you add this. And I said, thank you very much. And then I called her back to see how it went. She said, it didn't taste like the way you guys used to do it. And she said, well, the more you do it, the better you'll get. And that's exactly what happened. But I learned the hard way. But see, we got to equip our kids. We got to equip ourselves spiritually. Because one day they're going to have to stand on their own 2 feet. Amen? You know, I want to show you pictures of a couple of brothers that I consider heroes. This is Dan Courier. Dan Courier graduated from the University of Nairobi and became a Christian. He was actually accepted into the master's program. And I asked him to come into the ministry and he came. And so, he forgot about going to school to get his master's. Dan was killed in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, when he was over there leading our church. I still remember where I was when I got the phone call. A riot had broken out in the city. He was with the sister who was leading the women. And he was trying to get our home safely when shots rang out and he was hit in the shoulder. Hannah was right next to him, pleading, screaming. Nobody stopped to help. He literally bled to death in the streets. He went home, 2001. Before that, a few months before that, his brother, single evangelist in the Lagos church, also died, shot by armed robbers on a Sunday night. Again, I still remember where I was when I got that phone call. He was still in the car where he was shot when I showed up at the scene. Had to take him to the morgue. When we're talking morgue, I'm not talking of like you see on CSI with air conditioning. There's no such thing. When people die, they embalm them immediately because there's no refrigeration. The electricity is really bad. When I get discouraged, these are the kind of guys that keep me going. They literally sacrificed themselves and died in the field of battle. So when you say, oh, you know, why is Richard upset? These are the kind of things that I've seen and I've experienced. And that's why we cannot get sucked in this American bubble. There are others. But I decided to show these two. The hardest thing I've ever had to do in my life was to go talk to his parents that he had been killed. I mean, how do you tell a parent that their son, who's a minister, was killed by armed robbers? How do you do it? How do you console people like that? And that's why, you know, sometimes when I hear us making our excuses, I don't pay attention to it. Because I think a lot of us don't really understand. I didn't put these guys up here to make us feel guilty. But I'm just trying to help you realize the battle that is being fought. And it's still being fought, even as we speak. Do we face challenges in our lives? Yes. But I'll be the first one to tell you, most disciples will gladly trade places with you. Most disciples, believe it or not, they are not in America. They're outside in the third world. I praise God for years because God has blessed us with wealth. We continue to take whatever it is we have and we continue to send it across and tell people to continue to preach the word. Praise God. And we will continue to do that. Amen? But all I'm saying is, as we do that, let's not get comfortable. Because there's a battle that's being waged every single day. And so I want to conclude by asking, did Jesus die in vain? Really? Because he's the one that sacrificed his life and brought us redemption. Yeah, there are other men and women that read about in the scriptures, and Paul and the apostles and all these guys in the first century that were burnt at the stake. But did Jesus die in vain? What would Jesus and some of these guys that I just talked about in the scriptures and the two brothers I just showed you on the screen, what would they say about us? Again, I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. I'm just trying to get you to examine yourself. Amen? This is what keeps me going. To make sure that, you know what? Jesus didn't die in vain. That these guys did not die in vain. That this is my moment in history. I am going to do something with my life. I am not going to allow the devil to win. And I'm going to spend every breath that I have trying to help people know God and stay faithful to God until the day they die. And when my life is all over, if all I succeed in doing is saving one person, I think it would have been worth something. When your life is over, if all you succeed in doing is saving one person, it would have been worth it. For us to be able to spend eternity with God. And so, church, I'm saying it's time for you and I to be the spiritual veterans that God has called us to be. Amen. Amen, amen, church. And so what we're going to do right now is we're going to have a closing prayer. And then we're going to stand up and we're going to sing together, Soldiers of Christ, Arise. Let us sing it with conviction. And more importantly, let us walk out of here and take the fight to the devil. God bless you all.
Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for giving us Richard and his passion to teach us today. Father, help each one of us to take this message to heart, to be soldiers. Father, to put on the armor. Father, to fight the battle every single day until we die. Father, help us never to compromise on what matters, but to always be faithful to you. Father, thank you for this message. Help us to leave here today renewed in our convictions and ready for the spiritual warfare. Thank you, Father. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Soldiers of Christ.